America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mary Starrett, who is the National Secretary of the Constitution Party, will join me at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time, to talk about the Constitution Party specifically. And I'm also going to bring into the mix Mary's own very, very interesting biography, which you can find at Wikipedia, and also her archive at News with Views. Mary's written a lot of interesting articles, including a latest post on Rudolph Giuliani and the OxyContin drug. That will come up with us at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. Mary Starrett of the Constitution Party, she is their national secretary. And when you read about her background, it is quite interesting to see that she is both a professional journalist historically, as well as a conservative political activist. And one wonders if this very interesting woman might eventually be in the Constitution Party's national presidential sweepstakes. We'll have to keep an eye on it in the days ahead. Of course, we're going to be following a series of stories here from the last few days. Greg Felton sends me his latest article from Vancouver, Canada. We might take a look at that one very briefly this morning. Alan Stang, I wanted to thank for being on the show on Tuesday. Alan's been on twice in these last 2 weeks. I noticed yesterday that here in San Antonio, his latest book arrived at my little operation here in northeastern San Antonio. Wanted to thank Alan for sending that along to me. I thought his discussion Tuesday of the George Wallace assassination attempt in May of 1972, which Alan covered at the time for Review of the News, is still absolutely essential reading and contemplation on your part and mine, because Alan was making the connection between what happened to George Wallace 35 years ago and the kinds of threats and risks that are run by people today who challenge the political establishment, either in the political arena or in the journalistic community. And whether we're thinking about some of the strange things that happened to Richard Dick Thompson, who lost his life leaving the USS Liberty Convention in Washington a month or two ago, or we're talking about some of the very, very grave dangers that attend to a reasonably articulate presidential campaigner, it's clear that we are living in dark times when people who step out in truth find themselves facing all kinds of issues and all kinds of threats. So for all the people that you know who are involved in political activism, good political activism, or journalism on the populist right, or for that matter on the populist left, pray for these people when they're on the right side of the issue. Pray for them as they continue to go about their work, because these are very, very difficult times. Not simply in terms of overt threats, but also in regard to the lack of resources that we often toil with. Keep us, as my old friend Paul Feinberg would put it, keep us ongoingly before the throne of grace. Yesterday, Anissa Abd El Fattah was on the show. She is, of course, the national director of the National Association of Muslim American Women. A very, very fascinating conversation with Anissa. I'm very glad that she was able to come back onto the show. I had her on several months ago. She brought us up to speed on a series of things that we need to be aware of that I thought were most moving in their implications. One of the things that she did say that is a theme that has been reiterated by other people who've been on this show in recent times, and that is that we're having more of an effect than we believe that we are. When you begin to look at some of the things going on in the establishment media, some of the additional coverage that Ron Paul has been getting for his presidential campaign, and frankly, some of the things that are beginning to emerge as cracks in the dam when it comes to what has been, up to now, the complete Zionist control of the American political process and the American media, it suggests that those of us who have been fighting with squirt guns are maybe doing a better job of this than we think. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mary Starrett of the Constitution Party will join me from the Pacific Northwest at 9 o'clock Central Time today. Stay tuned.
there is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Mark Ancos, America, coming to live from Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Barry Sturette, the National Secretary of the Constitution Party, will be with us at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time to talk about her life and the kinds of things that she's up to professionally, as well as what's going on with the Constitution Party. I was going to ask her today, when she does come on the show, about the whole issue of Jerome Corsi, you know, the very well-known WorldNet Daily commentator who has written a number of books on the Middle East and who's doing a lot of work right now on the North American Union, was beginning to look like the odds-on favorite to become the next presidential candidate of the Constitution Party. And yet Dr. Corsi took himself out of the running recently for reasons that I'm not totally clear on. It may be that the sheer stress and toil and sometimes thanklessness of the whole thing did not appeal to him. I don't know. Have not had a chance to call Jerome to ask him what I could say about this on the air in regard to some of his thinking for not ultimately taking up Howard Phillips on Howard's encouragement for Dr. Corsi to run. So if Jerome Corsi is not going to run for president for the Constitution Party, we must ask who will. And that'll be an interesting take to talk to Mary Starrett on this, because she is an insider in the Constitution Party, as well as a very interesting person in the world of political activism on the right, and also journalism. You can find Mary Starrett's archive at News with Views, and I'll say a little bit more about that in the first hour of the show, and also when she comes on at 9 a.m. Central. Ted Pike sends an alert in regard to the hate bill. The alert this morning is entitled, Bush Vows to Fight the Hate Bill. Ted Pike at the National Prayer Network says that this week, President Bush said that if the Senate in September approves the Kennedy-Smith hate bill as an amendment to the military reappropriations bill, he will veto it. He'll send both bills back to the Senate in order to have the hate bill removed. He will not be bullied into passing a hybrid gay rights arms bill. Bush's statement is powerful evidence, according to Ted Pike, that mounting grassroots anger against hate crimes legislation is encouraging him to stand and fight. The president's attitude is in marked contrast to most politicians, both state and federal, in previous years. They feared that being against a bill that ostensibly wanted to end hate would be perceived by their constituents as being pro-hate. Result, defeat in the next election. All this is changing, says Ted. As the public becomes aware of how hate laws have taken away free speech in many countries and intend to do so here, it sees through the deception of hate law rhetoric. The claim that anti-hate laws are against hate is now widely recognized as just as hollow as the abortionists' claim to be pro-choice. What is true is that hate laws persecute Christians. With the president's popularity at a record low, he clearly perceives that those who oppose hate laws are becoming a significant power bloc. A group well worth satisfying. But this is not a time for lovers of freedom to rest on their accomplishments. Rather, we must continue pressure on members of the U.S. Senate to vote against the Kennedy-Smith Amendment in September. Bush's cooperation with the wishes of the people can be greatly encouraged during the next month, calling senators at their home offices and attempting to meet with them in small groups. Also, call your senator's home office and protest the hate bill. Go to the U.S. Senate website for the phone number. If we continue the offensive, says Ted Pike, there is the very real possibility that George Bush, increasingly alienated from anti-war Democrats, may desire to realign himself more firmly with his original right-wing supporters. In that case, he might be persuaded to also veto other very dangerous pending speech crimes legislation, particularly ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. This is a golden moment which we must take advantage of to the fullest, says Ted Pike. If we take action now, we can not only guarantee our own freedom, but begin to roll back evil legislation which will oppress and enslave our children. With God behind us and truth as our shield, we can yet hold back the darkness. Let's roll, says Ted, in regard to this whole business of opposing hate crimes legislation. I think Ted is absolutely correct. We have to hold the president's feet to the fire and also hold these senators' feet to the fire in regard to opposing this thing, killing this thing, making sure it never becomes public law in this country. A version of it, we are reminded, has already passed the United States House of Representatives, so we need to be very sure that this does not get through the U.S. Senate. Greg Felton today sends me his latest piece. It's entitled, Academic Freedom Doesn't Extend to Those Who Speak Out Against Israel. This is a very, very interesting article because it underscores some of the things that Greg has been talking about in recent times on this show. If you go to www.gregfelton.com, you will see that commentary. And, of course, most of you know by now that Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America, that is a Dandelion Books publication. That's Carol Adler's company in Tempe, Arizona. Greg says, as of August 9th, that the equation of Western democracy with individual freedom, equality, and the rule of law is the great conceit that informs our perception of good and evil states. Naturally, we live in a quote-unquote good state, whereas states that do not respect these three fundamental tenets, like Soviet Russia and Nazi Germany, are evil. I chose this religious terminology, says Greg Felton, and I chose it deliberately because it depicts a fallacious moral dichotomy. We are taught to associate the above-mentioned states, among others, with concentration camps, genocide, enforced conformity, propaganda, hatred, and intellectual censorship. In so doing, we also reinforce the convenient illusion that these repressive practices are inapplicable to so-called good states like ours. One look at the former Republic of America should be enough to convince any sentient being that such simplistic moralism is indefensible. As I show in my book, The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America, the U.S. Republic has been supplanted by a police state that mirrors the fascistic terrorism of Nazi Germany, not the enlightened liberalism of the founding Continental Congress. This degeneration began with Ronald Reagan, says Greg Felton, and has reached its apogee under the current Dick Cheney-led junta. Inasmuch as a democracy is supposed to be based on individual freedom, equality, and the rule of law, it is clearly just as susceptible of corruption as any other form of government, as Plato showed in The Republic. Yet an open discussion on the obvious similarities between the U.S. and the Nazi regime is so far impossible. Fascism has been neatly compartmentalized into a discrete period of history, as has the myth of the U.S. as the great democratic savior of the free world. To accept that the U.S. could degenerate into a police state amounts to accepting that a democracy is not the epitome of political goodness, and that good and evil are religious terms that have no place in political discussions. Greg Felton goes on to say that unless we disabuse ourselves of our fundamental conceit, we cannot see that the U.S. has abandoned individual freedom, equality, and the rule of law for concentration camps, genocide, enforced conformity, propaganda, hatred, and intellectual censorship. Let's take the last one for example. In Chapter 7, Greg Felton says, of the rise and fall of the Third Reich, William L. Shirer describes the various ways the Nazi regime censored and otherwise debased German education. Quote, "The Civil Service Act of 1937 required teachers to be the executors of the will of the party-supported state and to be ready at any time to defend without reservation the National Socialist State. An earlier decree had classified them as civil servants and thus subject to the racial laws. Jews, of course, were forbidden to teach. All teachers took an oath to be loyal and obedient to Adolf Hitler. As early as the autumn of 1933, quoting Shirer here, some 960 of them, led by such luminaries as Professor Sauerbruch, the surgeon, Heidegger, the existentialist philosopher, and Pinder, the art historian, took a public vow to support Hitler and the National Socialist regime." Shirer notes that those who openly opposed the new politicized education were exceedingly small, and most of those who did were forced to emigrate. Today in the U.S. and other so-called democracies, professors who oppose the official politicized education also face threats, ostracism, and libel. For the National Socialist State, now substitute the National Zionist State. Greg goes on to give us some specific examples. Dr. David Noble of York University in Toronto was libeled by the university's administration and harassed by the Canadian Jewish Congress for his opposition to Israeli apartheid and support for Palestinians. No professor came to his defense or condemned the university administration for colluding with the lobby. Dr. Robert Trivers of Rutgers University had his guest lecture at Harvard canceled just before he was due to speak because he had earlier identified Alan Dershowitz as a Nazi-like apologist, quote-unquote, for having justified Israel's atrocities in Lebanon. Dr. Ilan Pop of Haifa University in Israel has been ostracized and threatened because of his exposés of Israel's terrorism and has been forced to emigrate. In September, he begins teaching at Exeter University. Dr. Norman Finkelstein, while at DePaul University in Chicago, was denied tenure despite overwhelming support from faculty and students because of administrative bias and a defamation campaign led by Alan Dershowitz. These four professors of principle, three of whom are Jewish, says Greg Felton, are victims of fascism, just as much as were Jewish students and teachers during the Third Reich. Their cases might lack the overt, declared fascism of Hitler's regime, and neither had to swear a loyalty oath, but to the coercive influence of the lobby, we can see that it's every bit as pernicious. We'll be back with Greg Felton's latest column. This is Mark Gankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mary Stratt, the National Secretary of the Constitution Party, will join me at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
We're back. This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mary Sturette, the National Secretary of the Constitution Party, will join me at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time to talk about the Constitution Party and also some of the things that Mary does at News with Views. You can find the Mary Sturette archive at newswithviews.com. You'll see the quality of the work that she does on a whole series of issues. I think her latest post for them deals with Rudolph Giuliani and OxyContin. So if you go to News with Views and look for the Mary Sturette archive, you can get to that article on Giuliani. Getting back to Greg Felton a little bit this morning, he sends to me from Canada his latest piece entitled Academic Freedom Doesn't Extend to Those Who Speak Out Against Israel. You can find the essay at www.gregfelton.com. We've been reading from that essay a little bit this morning. Greg goes on to say that these four professors of principle that have been exiled from their teaching positions, that three of them are Jewish. they have now been victimized, paradoxically, by the Israeli lobby for their opposition to fascism, their opposition to the worst excesses of the Zionist menace. Greg goes on to say that how is it possible that a democracy founded on notions of individual liberty, speaking of the United States now, could tolerate such gross abuses of that liberty unless that democracy no longer exists? Felton says that the founding myth of Jews as eternal victims and of Israel as Jewish payback for the crimes committed by the Nazis are nothing more than compartmentalized moral dogmata. To accept that Zionist Jews are doing to Arabs what the Nazis did to Yiddish or Jews amounts to assailing the moral justification for Israel's existence. Any professor who taught honest scholarship in 1930s Germany, says Greg Felton, committed a crime. If B'nai B'rith gets its way, any professor who teaches honest scholarship about the Middle East and advocates justice for Palestinians or denounces the corrosive influence of the Israel lobby will also be guilty of committing a crime. In 1945, Professor Julius Ebbinghaus, one of the few professors who refused to cave into the Nazis, remarked, quote, "The German universities failed, while there was still time, to oppose publicly with all their power the destruction of knowledge and of the democratic state. They failed to keep the beacon of freedom and right burning during the night of tyranny," unquote. The beacon of freedom, though, says Greg Felton, doesn't appear to be faring much better in 2007. In response to a boycott of Israeli universities by Unison, the UK's largest public trade union, the presidents of McGill University and the University of BC issued knee-jerk condemnations in the name of academic freedom, never once mentioning Israel's denial of academic freedom or any other freedom to Palestinians. The substance of Unison's argument, or the lobby's terrorism of scholars, such is the state of academic freedom in Israel, America, and Canada, Israel, says Greg Felton. You can find that essay, Academic Freedom Doesn't Extend to Those Who Speak Out Against Israel, at gregfelton.com. And again, looking at the four professors he mentions, Dr. David Noble of York University in Toronto, Canada, Dr. Robert Trivers of Rutgers here in this country, Dr. Elon Pop, who's been on this show. He is the author, by the way, of The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. Dr. Pop is located at Haifa University in Israel, but has been forced out of his position by Israel and will begin teaching at Exeter University in the fall, according to Greg. Dr. Norman Finkelstein, of course, is one we're all familiar with. While at DePaul University in Chicago, he was denied his tenure because of a defamatory campaign being led by the infamous, nefarious Alan Dershowitz. Folks, what we are talking about here is not simple unfairness on the Middle Eastern issue. That's bad enough. What we are talking about here is the fundamental change in the American Republic that is being perpetrated upon us by the Israeli lobby. We have to stand up to this. We have to stand up to it now. I think that's the basic, that is the basic theme of Greg Felton this morning. Quite clearly, that is where we sit here in the year 2007 as we approach another presidential campaign season. And if we think through this very, very clearly, I think we can see that Ron Paul, as near as I can tell, is once again the only presidential candidate out there who is saying the things that need to be said and is not parroting the line of the Israeli lobby, which otherwise is being done in both the Republican Party and in the Democratic Party. By the way, when we talk to Mary Starrett in a couple of hours, about an hour and a half from now, I wanted to ask her some additional things about the Constitution Party as it relates to the Israeli lobby. The Constitution Party historically has said some very good things about foreign policy. When I was their candidate for the U.S. Senate in Delaware in 2000, I was definitely running on an America First platform that was consistent with what the national platform was saying on these issues, as well as the platform of the Delaware Constitution Party. No question about that. But there has also been, in my view in recent years, some hints that there are those in the party who have more of a neocon orientation, more of a pro-Israel perspective. I want to explore that one with Mary when we get her on at 9 o'clock. This is Mark Manhouse, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Barry Stratton of the Constitution Party joins us at 9 a.m. Central. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mary Sturette, the National Secretary of the Constitution Party, will join me at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time. She's going to hook up with us by telephone from the Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk about what's going on in the CP, what's going on in Mary's life, and what's going on with her journalism career, which includes some very, very fine posts at News with Views. You can find the Mary Sturette archive at News with Views. I think her latest post for them deals with OxyContin and the whole issue of Rudolph Giuliani. What's the relationship between the two? We'll ask Mary about that when she comes on at 9 a.m. Folks, the American right, the so-called mainstream American right, is really in trouble. And I think when you read Mike Piper's Judas Goats, or when you listen to some of the things that I cover or that Mark Lend covers for the American Free Press, you can begin to see why. There is a must-read post today at LouRockwell.com entitled, What Has Happened to Human Events by Christopher Mannion. Human Events has had a profound impact in my life. I go all the way back to when I was starting out in college at Valparaiso University in the early 1970s, and I began reading Human Events at that time and became a subscriber. The editor of Human Events, the original editor of Human Events, at least in the last however many years, was Thomas S. Winter, a German Lutheran that had a lot in common with me theologically. Tom is a very fine person, but it seems to me that Human Events has been going in the wrong direction for a long time. On the Zionist issue, on the neocon issue, a lot of really bad stuff has been printed there in recent years. And much of this, I believe, is maybe traceable to when Human Events was taken over by Phillips Publishing. There's no relationship there, by the way, with Howard Phillips. This is Tom Phillips we're talking about here, the owner of Phillips Publishing, whose subsidiary, Eagle Publishing, took over Human Events some years ago, gave it more funding, more of a glitzy appearance. But I think that the quality of the journalism for those of us on the real right began, in the main, to decline. Christopher Mannion laments this today at lewrockwell.com. He says, "What has happened to Human Events? Ah, for the good old days when conservatives could appeal to honesty. Remember in your heart you know he's right? Remember when we railed against runaway executive power, like in the Bricker Amendment, and when all of us waited for Human Events to arrive in the mail? From my earliest days in politics," says Chris Mannion, "I remember Human Events. In 1960, we Youth for Goldwater Kids were mocked as we carried our signs for Barry through the hall of the 1960 Republican Convention next to Chicago's Union Stockyards. We thought everyone else was bought, and apparently a lot of them were. There were four lines of Nixon girls outside the floor entrance waiting to give their so-called spontaneous floor demonstration. I asked one of them how she could possibly be for Nixon when Barry was such a great guy. She proudly showed me her Kennedy button hidden inside the strap of her dress. Quote, 'I'm getting paid for this, honey,' unquote," she said. The years have come and gone, and as though like clockwork, the trough dwellers are back in power. Now both major parties revel in the hot tub and political millionaires abound. The old guard would not be surprised that this might be the case with the party of FDR and LBJ or the party of Nelson Rockefeller, but I think they would expect Human Events to be manning the ramparts of the right and calling all true conservatives to be champions of the Constitution, not prideful hacks in an increasingly polluted party of profligates and profiteers. Yet these strange times have brought strange signs at Human Events. Alan Riskind used to hang out in our Capitol Hill offices in the 1980s, but apparently he and Tom Winter are long gone. Now one Jed Babin edits Human Events, and earlier this week he commented on Sunday's Republican debate. "For a bewildered moment," says Chris Mannion, "I wondered if my computer had been hacked. Here was an editor of Human Events going gaga over that quote-unquote great campaigner, the quote-unquote comfortable Rudy Giuliani, and attacking Ron Paul, the race's only defender of the rule of law, as a constitutional gadfly, quote-unquote, because Ron Paul has the temerity to point out that the war in Iraq is unconstitutional." Evidently, Ron was not aware of just how dear Jed Babin holds his war. "Once upon a time," Mannion reminds us, "Human Events stood for conservative principle. Now it appears the Iraq War is its principle. And since the war and its attendant truths change every day, so must Human Events." A number of people could have warned Mr. Babin, including Heraclitus, quote, "Do not cling to changing things, but seek the logos," unquote, "the truth, and so much more." But alas, Mr. Babin apparently does not have ears to hear. If Mr. Babin has never heard of Heraclitus, which is his loss, perhaps he has heard of Felix Morley. On second thought, perhaps he has not. Mr. Morley was one of the founders of Human Events. As our colleague Tom Woods relates, Mr. Morley 48 years ago was as right as Mr. Babin is so profoundly wrong today. Mannion goes on to say that, I quote Dr. Woods at length because Mr. Babin might not have Morley's work at hand. Quote, Woods says, quote, "In Freedom and Federalism, 1959, old right journalist Felix Morley suggested that the process of empire building was, quote, essentially mystical. It must somehow foster the impression that a man is great in the degree that his nation is great, that a German as such is superior to a Belgian as such, an Englishman to an Irishman, an American to a Mexican, merely because the first name countries are in each case more powerful than their comparatives. And people who have no individual stature whatsoever are willing to accept this poisonous nonsense because it gives them a sense of importance without the trouble of any personal effort. Morley, a co-founder of Human Events newspaper, added that empire building amounted to a, quote, application of mob psychology to the sphere of world politics, and how well it works is seen by considering the emotional satisfaction many English long derived from referring to the, quote, empire on which the sun never sets, unquote. Some Americans, says Morley, now get the same sort of lift from the fact that the stars and stripes now floats over detachments of our boys, quote unquote, in 40 foreign countries. Ah, the old days, says Mannion, when it was only 40. I am struck, Mannion says, by Mr. Morley's observation that, quote, people who have no individual stature whatsoever are willing to accept this poisonous nonsense because it gives them a sense of importance without the trouble of any personal effort, unquote. Morley says that he hasn't seen that in Human Events lately. I do not know, Morley says, of Mr. Babin's personal stature, but I do know that of Human Events, and it has changed. In fact, it has sunk. It was once prestigious and commanding. Now, says Mannion, it apparently just channels neocon talking points to GOP county chairman and aspiring young Republicans on the make. The Babin Human Events suffers from the same neocon disease that plagues the ranks of operatives clustering around the 2008 GOP race, which might explain its Babinization. It's the same old story. Politics triumphs over principle. When the Washington Times asked Dick Allen, President Reagan's first national security advisor, about the race, Mr. Allen was blunt, quote, there is an overwhelming presence of neoconservatives and absence of traditional conservatives that I don't know what to make of, unquote, he said. Today, says Mannion, we can say the same of Human Events. Quote, ideas have consequences, said Richard Weaver, a contemporary of Mr. Morley. In contemplating what idea could possibly have wrought the consequence of someone of Mr. Babin's ilk becoming the editor of Human Events, I dimly recalled, says Mannion, an article he had once written in another publication. I had saved it under a quote-unquote flagrant curiosities. Written in November of 2004, it cheers on the U.S. attack on Fallujah, which had just gotten underway. What caught my eye, says Mannion, was this apparently passing observation, quote, our attack is made easier by the fact that about 75% of the civilian population has fled. There is little reason to restrain the use of air power, heavy artillery, and tanks, unquote. Could it be true that Mr. Babin considers the fact that only 25% of the civilian population remained in the city presented, quote-unquote, little reason to refrain from killing them en masse? We now know that the operation was one of the most disastrous episodes in Donald Rumsfeld's failed plan to terrorize. Oops, strike that, it's the Lenin in me, says Mannion. To intimidate other Sunni population centers into submission to the U.S. occupation. Instead, as Juan Cole sadly relates, quote, the U.S. military really did destroy Fallujah to save it, unquote. Mannion continues at saying that Mr. Babin has departed so far from the principles of Felix Morley and the Human Events of old, and the fact that this has taken place is bad enough, but he cannot resist, says Mannion, the all-too-familiar temptation of smarmy self-adornment with the heroism of others confronting dangers far, far away. Quote, today, 10 November 2004, is the 229th birthday of the U.S. Marines. Happy birthday to all leathernecks, and may God bless and protect every Marine, soldier, sailor, airman, and coastie now in harm's way, unquote. Mannion says that it would be useful here to observe, as Mr. Babin, firmly out of harm's way, chiefly arrogates to himself the bravery of the men and women who are fighting and dying in Iraq, Mr. Morley's observation once more comes in. Quote, people who have no individual stature whatsoever are willing to accept this poisonous nonsense because it gives them a sense of importance without the trouble of any personal effort, unquote. Mannion says that Fallujah was destroyed and 300,000 people were left without homes is now small potatoes, given the millions of refugees that Mr. Babin's cause has created to date. And since the U.S. military will not divulge the number of civilian casualties in Fallujah, nor the number of civilian casualties it slyly denominated as, quote, terrorists killed, unquote, we will only know at the last judgment how many thousands of innocent people died as Mr. Babin cheered this poisonous nonsense, quote, unquote, from the comfort of the Beltway. So just who is the gadfly? Is it Ron Paul or is it Mr. Babin? And how did human events come to hire this fellow after he had published such nonsensical puffery? And why are so many neocons, as Mr. Allen correctly observes, controlling so many 2008 campaigns when the abject failure of every single one of their nightmare forays is plain to see? I mean, says Mannion, why didn't they just go to the source and hire Richard Pearl? After all, the zillions of our taxpayer dollars flowing into the war effort and its domestic companion, Homeland Security, quote-unquote, are enriching well-placed Republicans as well as Democrats. So who's to complain? Quote, I'm getting paid for this, honey, unquote. The story addressing the human events conundrum, says Mannion, would prove helpful to anyone trying to understand the collapse of the conservative movement under George Bush. But you know what? I don't think human events will ever write it. Well, what is to be done? I know, Lenin again, says Mannion. As human events sinks into the indistinguishable neocon mire of treacle at the RNC, one wonders whether Rupert Murdoch would even bother trying to buy it. But one issue is going to arise, if it hasn't already. There is clearly going to come a clash between the neocon Babin, if he has hiring authority, and John Gizzi, one of the best political reporters in the business, because John calls them as he sees them. For example, Bob Novak has written that, quote, Republican leaders report that the most enthusiasm among grassroots activists is for Gingrich and Libertarian Representative Ron Paul, unquote. Will the voluntary Babinesia at Human Events allow John Gizzi to follow up on that story? The future is indeed hard to read, but frankly, I doubt it. I reckon John will be sticking to the, quote, all politics is local, unquote, routine for a while, so he doesn't accidentally confuse any Human Events readers about the innate goodness and virtue of the brazen Mr. Babin or his lovely little war. But the longtime readers of Human Events love the Constitution. Mr. Babin, who dismisses the race's only advocate of the Constitution as a gadfly, apparently sails by other lights. Sooner or later, says Mannion, as Mr. Weaver observed, ideas will have their consequences, and bad ideas have very bad consequences. Folks, this is a must-read today at lourockwell.com, Christopher Mannion's essay entitled, What Has Happened to Human Events? I've seen this coming for years. I think when Eagle Publishing, a subsidiary of Phillips Publishing, took over Human Events, that simply accelerated this trend that Christopher Mannion documents today. I also think that Human Events, for a very long period of time, has been bringing the neocon perspective into greater play. Why is it, for example, that Israeli governmental mouthpiece Daniel Pipes has been so influential, formally and informally, at Human Events in recent times? Pipes is a virtual agent of the Israeli government. Human Events has begun using Pipes in very, very serious ways in recent years. That is very suggestive of what I think is ultimately behind the catastrophe that has taken place in what was once the greatest American conservative newspaper available anywhere. And when I think of the way in which Human Events impacted my own life, in a positive way, and I think of the wonderful things that Mannion says today about people like Felix Morley, it pains me to read what Mannion is saying today at Lou Rockwell, but I'm forced to conclude from personal experience that everything that Mannion is writing about is absolutely true. Kevin Lamb, by the way, who used to be at Human Events, is now the editor of the Occidental Quarterly. Very fine person in Miami, sent me some copies of the Occidental Quarterly. Kevin Lamb shared some things with me some years ago that were on the public record in regard to why he left Human Events. Kevin, in a few weeks, is going to come on this show. He's got some things going on right now where he's got to clear the decks in his schedule. But it's at a future time, Kevin Lamb, the editor of the Occidental Quarterly, will come on this broadcast, and we're going to talk about the Occidental Quarterly for at least a couple of hours and tell you about some of the fine articles and writers who publish for that very, very interesting journal. I am very grateful to this person in Miami who mailed me some copies of what Lamb is currently doing. But when we get Kevin on, we want to chat about his own experience at Human Events, because he will corroborate in his own way what Mannion is talking about here. Tom Winter, a longtime editor of Human Events in recent decades, is a close friend of mine. But frankly, I'm forced to conclude that as Tom has largely stepped out of the limelight at Human Events because of health issues and Tom's age and this stage of his life, the situation that I have chatted with Tom about, that he never quite saw in the same way that I did, has now become worse, it seems to me, with what Mannion is saying to us today. That's what has happened to Human Events. And take a look at that piece in conjunction with Michael Collins Piper's chapter in the Judas Goats on Human Events. For those of us who loved Human Events and who have, as I do, a bound copy in our libraries that chronicles about 50 years of that publication, we are very saddened to see this development. It pains me to read this article over the air, but I know that the article is essentially true, that it's utterly factual. It is clear to anyone who loves Human Events in terms of what it was when Felix Morley and others like Felix Morley were putting their input into the thing. We love Human Events, and yet we mourn over what is apparently its ideological corpse. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mary Starrett of the Constitution Party will join me in a little bit more than an hour from now. Stay tuned.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting. 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mary Starrett, the National Political Communications Director of the Constitution Party, will join me at 9 o'clock this morning Central. Mary, among other things, has been a candidate for governor of Oregon in 2006, a commentator, talk show host, has a bachelor's degree from Emerson College. You can find her archive at newswithviews.com. Very fascinating woman. I think you will enjoy her as a personality, as a radio personality, and as a thinker. And we'll ask her a lot of interesting questions as to her own political philosophy and where she sees the Constitution Party going this year, especially as it relates to the fact that Ron Paul is running as a Republican. Mary Starrett, that'll be 9 o'clock this morning Central Time. This is, of course, the opportunity for all of you to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can contact us at republicbroadcasting.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. We need your help, folks, and we need it now. We need ongoing resources from people who can afford to support us to keep us going in the days ahead. And the American Free Press is in much the same vein. You can subscribe to AFP at 1-888-699-NEWS. That's 1-888-699-NEWS. Read the best of what Mike Piper and Mark Lynn and Mark Anderson and others have to tell us about what is really going on in this country, both domestically as well as what we're doing in foreign policy. The American Free Press, it plays the same role in my life now, folks, that Human Events used to, for reasons that Chris Mannion chronicles today at lourockwell.com. So support the Republic Broadcasting Network, support the American Free Press to the extent that you possibly can. Also, wanted to mention that the Texas Confessional Lutherans are having a conference coming up on the 7th and 8th of September in Texas, in a place called Brenham, Texas. If you are interested in that conference, either because you're worried about what's going on in the Lutheran Church, or you simply want to cover an item of interest that involves something going on in one of America's leading denominations, you can get to the website at www.concordtx.org. That's www.concordtx.org, and read more about Texas Confessional Lutherans and their conference coming up on the 7th and 8th of September in Brenham, Texas. And folks, as we go back to this whole business of Human Events and what Chris Mannion says today at lourockwell.com, after the top of the hour, I want to say some things about John Gizzi of Human Events, who is mentioned in Mannion's article as a very fine person. I affirm that. Now, I knew Thomas Winter a lot better than John Gizzi, but John had a couple of telephone conversations with me years ago. Just knowing me as a subscriber and knowing just a little bit about me back in the days when I was doing the Constitution Party gig and running for office, John Gizzi is a fascinating guy. He's a great reporter, one of the best in the business, as Chris Mannion says. Gizzi is also a very fascinating Roman Catholic guy, theologically, who was interested in the Latin Mass, and he is an eminently decent person. I've never met John Gizzi face-to-face. I would know him probably anywhere because of his very prominent photograph that appeared for years in Human Events. But it'll be interesting to see where John Gizzi takes himself and his career in light of what has been happening to Human Events in recent times. And as we consider what Mannion has been saying today about Human Events and how it has simply gone into the tank, as far as the principled America First publication it once was, we are reminded that the Republic Broadcasting Network and the American Free Press are the major vehicles for real conservatives now. If you believe in the Constitution, folks, your alternatives are the Republic Broadcasting Network and radio and the American Free Press in regard to print journalism. That's simply where it sits. That should become abundantly obvious to us by now. If we compare what we put out here at Republic Broadcasting Network and what is being put out routinely by the American Free Press with the direction of Human Events and Fox News, National Review, and the Weekly Standard, the widening gulf in the American right that is shown by the difference in these publications and outlets, something we'll talk to Mary Stervet about in about 1 hour from now. This is Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
A message for all.